Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club where people hate reading. This month doing grab bags, so Ryan picked the movie Collateral, made in 2004, episode 1.5 of the TV miniseries Labyrinth. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Hello. And Ryan Preston. Here's a description of Collateral. A cab driver finds himself the hostage of an engaging contract killer as he makes his rounds from hit to hit during one night in Los Angeles.
Technically, he wasn't in Los Angeles the entire time. That was outlying areas.
Greater metropolitan area.
Yeah, well, why don't you just say L.A. County?
When they use Los Angeles at this point, it's more like they're in, you know,
yeah,
in
but Southern California is not all Los Angeles. This is a
debate
you have with all Northern Californians.
I think they went as far as, like, the Valley and South L.A. I'm sure I could find a list of all the places.
They didn't go to East L.A.
Hell, even San Diego's a suburb of Los Angeles.
That's pushing it.
Yeah, that's a two-hour drive.
Yeah. So
that's without traffic.
That's not too bad.
It's like five with.
So I'm going to go, I'll honestly give this movie a 2.5. Out of five. Yeah. There is a couple of caveats. I was extremely busy while I was watching this, so I wasn't able to pay 100% attention on it.
Blame the kid.
But I just wasn't all that excited about the movie. For one, Tom Cruise looks like a retarded Richard Gere in this movie.
You mean when he smiles and it's asymmetric?
Just in general.
Oh, okay.
He has that gray hair, which Richard Gere apparently has had since he was five.
Yeah, that was kind of bothersome, the gray hair. I thought that was a little pushing.
It looks like a wig. It 100% looked like a wig to me. It was driving me nuts.
It wasn't just for men.
He's not just a client.
Well, I think that's to his character, but I'll get into that.
All right. Yeah, we're going to get there.
So I'm going to go over to James.
I'm going to just give it a 3. I mean, it wasn't anything special. It's not something we haven't seen from Tom Cruise before. I mean, it's him running around and shooting. What else does he do? I mean, that sums up, like, 99.9% of his movies.
He didn't ride a motorcycle in this.
He used a sword a couple of times.
There was no motorcycle, though.
Yeah, there was no motorcycle, huh?
That's all usually right. In every single one of his movies. There has
all
to
right,
be
so
some.
That's a 2.8, then. No motorcycle. We got ripped off. I feel gypped. Get a motorcycle in this movie.
If you're going to have the trifecta of Tom Cruise running, killing, riding a motorcycle, some stupid stunt, you got to have
it. Yeah, we got no dancing or singing either. Well, we did get a little bit with the jazz scene. I don't know. All right, Ryan, you're up.
Okay, solid 4 for me.
Wow.
Oh, really, mister? I wasn't barely paying attention. I can't even believe you'd give this shit a 2.5. Okay, listen, take Tom Cruise out of it, all right? Put anybody else in. As a matter of fact, I heard Edward Norton was offered the role.
Really?
I think so. Yeah,
Kristen Bell?
I think he was offered the role of Vincent.
So I actually think if you had Edward Norton, I think it would have been more psychological thriller, which I would have liked a little bit more than what this turned out to be.
I think it would have actually been the exact same movie. Because really? The character was supposed to be as mysterious as he was. I mean, he's the type of person to just slip in and out of a room without anybody noticing him. Speaking of the hair, though, I think that was a choice his character made whilst, like before he took the assignment, as it were. Like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going to go gray this time. And then probably the next time he went to black or whatever the hell. But it was...
Next time it's whatever the coroner decided to dye his hair. Oh, sorry, spoiler alert.
This was a way different type of Hitman movie than I'd ever seen. Obviously, it's a saturated genre. You know, of assassins and things like that. But this one almost taking place entirely in a cab with the interaction between him and the driver. First of all, it was a great concept.
The driving scenes were my favorite. I really didn't like a whole lot of anything else, but the way they shot the cab scenes, the way they interacted, even the things would happen, that one scene where Tom Cruise, like, you know, like, taped him to the steering wheel type of thing.
Zip-tied.
Well... It was this slow sort of figuring out of who Vincent is, like as a person, not necessarily as his whole life story, but you have this character in Jamie Foxx. He's a cab driver. He's used to talking to people, getting stories out of them, figuring out their lives, you know, which was obviously sort of shadowed with Jada Pinkett Smith. But the interactions, the tense interactions when they're in the cab, and then him just trying to figure out, like, there's got to be a way I can get out of this. You know, and then obviously equal parts Hitman things and Vincent not playing any games.
He, by the way, he's the nosiest Hitman I've ever seen in a movie. Let's go see your mother. What about, it's like, seriously? Just fucking kill the dude. Get it over with. You could have saved me 2 hours.
He's got to get the guy to win him over, and that was kind of the plot twist of, you know, that the cab driver always gets framed for it. You know,
M. Night Shyamalan could have seen this coming.
Well, so I was scrolling through the trivia to see what... if Ryan was right about Edward Norton. So far, Colin Farrell, Russell Crowe, Leonardo DiCaprio, and John Travolta were all considered for the role of Vincent. Adam Sandler and Johnny Depp were considered for the role of Max.
I really dig the idea of Edward Norton in a movie like this, though. Yeah, I think he'd do amazing at it.
I think he would have done a good Vincent. The... Johnny Depp would have been a little bit... I mean, we'd seen that character in Nick of Time when he was sort of that nervous person made to do things he didn't want to.
Yeah, but Adam Sandler?
It's the first time I'd ever seen Jamie Foxx like this, though.
Yeah, you but know, Adam Sandler?
He's always playing the action star, the funny guy, or the smooth guy. In this one, he was, I mean, scared to death.
Yeah. This, to me, seems like a role that maybe Denzel would have passed on, because it has the flavor of a Denzel Washington role. You know, if you take, like, Taking a Fall in 1, 2, 3 and other similar style movies he's done in his past.
As playing Vincent?
No, as playing the cab driver. Jamie Foxx's character.
Okay.
Because it's not the first time he's played that style of character. So that I saw that...
I mean, obviously, we don't need to cast every person who's just done that role before. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I like to see the role done by someone else that hasn't really quite done something like this. Like, I mean, I think Norton would do a better job than John Travolta or Russell Crowe.
Or Tom Cruise.
But...
Well, that's my point.
I think Leonardo DiCaprio would be an interesting
job. It would have been the same movie.
Oh, no, but I think Leonardo DiCaprio would have been an interesting pick.
Well, don't get me wrong. The reason why I think Edward Norton would do better is at this point, this particular run-and-gun genre that this really was is so overplayed by Tom Cruise. You get Edward Norton, who's a little bit more picky about his roles. I think it would have been a little bit more refreshing, at least, you know, in the long run of the game.
Well, he would have been coming off the back of 25th Hour, which I think is a very, not similar, but, you know, it's kind of a bad guy role. I know, I don't think John ever saw 25th Hour, but I know Ryan has.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he was in the room when that monologue was delivered from there, and... I mean, but I don't know. I'm kind of questioning Norton for it. I could see somebody more like Christian Bale or I really think I would have liked Leo to do this over Tom Cruise, actually.
Maybe.
My point is I have no problems inherently with Tom Cruise. He's a great actor.
He's just your man crush. You're a whore for Tom Cruise.
Point notwithstanding, though, you know what I mean? He is a great actor, you know, whether you sort of dig the general type of movies that he does, but this is not his usual shit. You know, this was a little bit of a departure from Tom Cruise, even.
I'm not the biggest Cruise fan, I'll be completely honest. I do think he did good for this movie. I just think the way he did it may not have been the best.
I don't know. It seemed a little too Mission Impossible character.
That's
for
it.
Me.
That it's. I just think for me.
I mean, and he's. I think he'd already done what, 2, 3 at this point in 2004.
So I think maybe of it is a little bit of bias in my part, like years after the fact, after like 12 Mission Impossibles and half a dozen other basic movies that are similar enough, you know, basically run and gun. but and this Tom Cruise.
Is not similar. That's the point I'm trying to make, man, is it this, actually was about the human moment. I mean, the shooting was almost the setting.
I actually think that's the one redeeming value is when you the interaction between him and Jamie Foxx. I think what saves this movie and from me not giving it an absolute zero.
So he's done, I think you're out of your mind with a 2.5.
I, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this is, I mean, he had already done 2 Mission Impossibles. I looked it up just to see. He did another one right after this one in 2006, so it was close to 2 or 3.
Got it. Needed a good taste after the second one.
Yeah,
and this is a year after the Last Samurai.
Yeah.
And a year before.
And I loved him in Last Samurai. I loved that film. But I look at this one as just another Tom Cruise film, because that's kind of what it is for me. It's like another, just a vanilla Sky. Oh yeah, I did that. I'll do it again if you ask me.
No.
I'm really seeing nothing new from him in this one. Like Last Samurai, that was a completely new role that we hadn't seen him in, like the
So I actually defend him a little bit. I do think that the cab scenes, which is I keep going back to, which is my favorite cinematography in the movie, my favorite little quirks in the movie.
Just like Taxi Driver.
The scene, I like how he switches side depending on his what mood. He's trying to his mood and what he's they're trying to portray. I love those whole scenes. I love the fact that in those scenes, it's 100% character based. You can't really do much in such a confined space. Everything else to me was kind of blasé. I really loved the driving scenes. Those were literally my favorite parts of this entire movie.
That was basically the movie. Like I said, I mean it was set around the idea of the hitman. But I mean, not to beat the point into the ground. But when have you ever seen Tom Cruise play a bad guy before?
It's not about playing a bad guy.
So this is not Mission Impossible where he's the coolest, nicest guy in the world. He's a deplorable piece of shit in this movie.
Honestly, I didn't...
Not necessarily.
See, the weirdest thing is I didn't really see him as the bad guy in this movie, and I don't know why, but it seemed more like he was just a dude doing his job. It's kind of an odd feeling I got.
I mean, that's what I got out of the jazz club. I mean, he gave the guy the opportunity, right?
Yeah.
He played a nice guy in that moment because Jamie Foxx asked him to. Dude got the question wrong. So what? He dies.
He was a crappy person, but for some reason I just didn't see him as the villain in this movie. It could be the fact that he's literally the good guy in almost every movie he's been in.
Yeah,
because you've seen him play so many good guys, you couldn't see him as the bad guy in this one, which he clearly was.
He was a piece of crap in Top Gun.
It could have been.
He was just a hothead. Come on,
he was a piece of crap. He was a douche.
He was more of a douche in Cocktail.
Come on, he killed Goose, man.
God damn it!
God damn, you hear that phone?
Hang on.
I just didn't like. I don't just there, nothing about this movie to me was redeemable. Granted, I was really busy at the time, but I did sit through it. I don't know this to me. This movie didn't have any remarkable, like literally just the scenes in the cab were the only parts of this movie I really dug. I also like the scene in the jazz, the scene of the jazz scene, just because I'm a big jazz fan and listening to the stories, I'm like, oh, that's badass. But everything else, honestly, just kind of fell flat for me.
I think what bugs me the most about it is the fact that we got Tom Cruise, who's playing a guy who's basically a badass in his field.
Yeah.
And that's really what pretty much all of his roles are. I mean, even in Last Samurai, he was a really crack shot, you know? So, in the field of killing and that type of thing, he was that, but he was playing a guy that kind of fell into depravity and self-loathing and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and he was basically, in Last Samurai, playing the wayward hero. It was a redemption story more than anything.
Yeah, so for me, it's just a middle ground Tom Cruise film.
Okay, so
I don't think it needs to go down to like a 2.5 or anything on my end.
So I was looking it up real quick, trying to see if doing a quick and dirty Google search to see what movies Tom Cruise actually played a bad guy in. And this is what it is. Tom Hanks. Apparently, according to Google, Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise are the same person. Right. I still stick with my 2.5. I do. I may be underrating it just a little, especially according to Ryan. I'm willing to admit I'm wrong on this. Maybe a while down the road we'll do a flashback episode.
That's actually a question out there. Wow, there's an article that the actual question headline of the article is: does Tom Cruise always play the same character?
I'm gonna have to save this. For later. And I'm pretty sure Ryan has stepped away from the mic for the moment.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did. I still don't see Ryan dropping below a 4, though. Do you?
No, I'm pretty sure Ryan gives it a 4. We'll ask him when he comes back on. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. You love us, hate us. Matter of fact, there's a piece of movie news or a movie you'd like us to review. Please let us know. Also, you can pause for the cause and donate to Old Guy Tech TV to help keep the lights on. You can also catch us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitchers, and more. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to hand it over to my co-host, James, for this week's TV episode.
So, I went and picked a movie called Labyrinth, and it's not coming up. Oh, there.
So, did it have puppets?
No, it didn't have it yet.
Like I said, my weekend was really busy. I didn't get a chance to watch it, so this week I've got more homework than normal to do.
And for some reason, this thing is not spelling it right. Anyway, so this was actually a little thing that came out, and it was a two-part series. I'm actually, where are my notes? There, jeez, why are they buried? Anyways, so, you know, I found a few little interesting things about this. Ridley Scott is actually an executive producer on it.
Really?
Yes. And this was a mostly British production that came out. They only did it in two parts. This is actually about one of the smaller, not well-known sects of Christianity that got wiped out by the Knights Templar and kind of the Crusade guys. They went out and slaughtered them all over Eastern Europe. It kind of gets into reincarnation and things like that and being able to pass memories along through space and time. I actually really impressed by it. I actually found on YouTube, a few viewers are out there looking for it. It's not an easy one to find. There is somebody that loaded up both sections on a YouTube. They're about 95 minutes each one, so be prepared for sitting there. It's kind of similar to what we did when we watched Neverland, which was another one that's a great one out there. If you guys haven't seen that one, that's a great one of the Peter Pan story. You can find it like episode early on, so run it.
So that 50. One was a pretty decent new
production.
Yeah, I'd say it was also a new take on Peter Pan.
Yeah, it was.
We did watch it. It's later back. It's the back episode. You're curious on what we thought about it.
It's brown episode. It's below episode 100. I'm pretty sure somewhere around there. But no, this one I'm actually gonna watch both parts of this one. I encourage you guys if you find time to actually sit down and watch it too. It's actually pretty well done.
So we're actually gonna pick the second one episode for our TV show this week. Generally, when we do, you know, short movies or stuff like that,
mini series.
We usually pick the whole thing, especially if it's 1 to 3 episodes.
I mean, yeah, if you guys are out there looking for it, it's Labyrinth, and then type in 2013 too, so you don't accidentally watch the David Bowie one.
Yeah, because if you get David Bowie or Guillermo del Toro movie, you've picked the wrong ones.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them's good, and well, the one that has puppets is not as good, in my humble opinion. So
don't tell any women that.
Yeah, whatever you do, never tell them that Newsies sucks either. Next week is our theater pick, and in all honesty, it's really obvious what movie we're doing. We're going to pick Logan. Yeah. This is also going to be, as we've said in Real Fix Reviews Movie News, this is supposedly Hugh Jackman's last jaunt as Wolverine.
Well, he has said that he might do a cameo here and there.
I gotta say
thank you for the time that you served. And
it's like 17 years?
Yeah, 17 years and crappy movies.
But this was this was at least in his U.S., at least for the America, this was his breakout character.
Yeah.
He would not have been known, at least in America, if it wasn't for the original X-Men trilogy.
See, but I was paying attention to his career before that. But I'm a fan of actors like that have chops like he does. He has some amazing chops.
Well, I mean, if you're a movie guy or a movie nut,
I'm not talking about the look.
You may have run into him, but far as mainstream audiences, nobody knew him.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But yeah, I mean, so look forward to that one.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and the absent yet ever present Ryan Preston, As always, thank you for watching.
Goodbye.